I've been thinking a lot about humor lately, so I want to talk about it again. And of course, we're going to be talking about NaNoWriMo because it is the last week in October. And it is, I should be writing season 17, episode 73.
Well, I should be writing.
Anyway, hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. I have five novels out, six if you count the one with the small press, and been podcasting since 2004, and I like talking about writing a lot. And I say I like to keep doing this even though I've pretty much said the same things over and over again, but yesterday I realized that I need to listen to my own advice. This is mortifying, but I'm saying it because just to let you guys know that it's a constant struggle. And that is, including people with flashbacks, or people in flashbacks and dead people. I believe my book has around 8 or 9 names that start with T. And I have complained about how did Tolkien get away with Sauron and Saruman? Especially because they were both bad guys. How? And I even have an Evil Myrrh piece of advice saying to throw in twins and triplets all with the same letter beginning their names. So that was just weird that I realized this and I had to go through and start changing them. And if you caught my just chatting stream yesterday, I was talking about how hard it is to work really hard to start to work on a book for months and months and months. And then because of edits or whatever, you change something. The thing you worked on for months and months and months is the thing that's kind of rooted in your mind, and suddenly that person with the name Tina is now named Lisa, only we're changing it back to Tina. But that's another story. So I had to be very careful with the search and replace, and I caught one embarrassing thing where I turned Timothy into Samothy. I liked that name a lot, but I figured that would be an in-joke between me and me, so I decided not to have that. But yeah, I had just T names all over the place. Good guys, bad guys, suspects, people from the past, old boyfriends, just T names. They're all T names. And I switched one of them to a C name and forgot I have another major character with a C name. I hate naming things. I hate it. I hate it. And this is one of the reasons why I'm so bad at it. So went back and forth with my editor this morning about who gets to keep the T. And I think she was right. I was going to let the dead guy have it. One of the dead guys. But she said this other person's like a major character who's going to be in the second book, so how about we give it to her? Okay. And everybody else gets a new name that I get to remember. Not everybody else. A lot of people. Why? Why did I do that? I don't know. It's all of these things are, you just have to be ever vigilant. So yeah, we usually start with what I've been up to, and that would be I finished the copy edits of Station Eternity and got it turned in. I'm excited. So, what I've been up to, the copy edits, and they always take longer than I think they will. I thought I could get them done yesterday, and I took a small break for streaming, and then pretty much just edited all day and was done by about 7 last night. The thing I worry about naming is sometimes I name people things and I just think I'm coming up with a name. I once had a character named Arthur Doyle. Really. His middle name was not Conan. I just thought it was a nice name. So, yeah, it's hard to keep up when you don't even realize that you're doing that. It's the whole George Glass situation from the Brady Bunch. I definitely always Google names just in case. You're very smart. Val, you need to be doing this show. Really. Anyway, so yes, I've been editing all day yesterday. I wrote a lot this morning. Had to get back to editing. I get back to writing after this. And I'm really hoping I can put several big projects down this week. I'm really, really hoping. So, that's what I've been up to. I've got projects coming out of my ears. I'm able to pass them off soon. Very much looking forward to that. So, I have, next part of the show is called Good News. I would like to hear your good news, if you have any good news. My good news is Blazeball's back. My sad news is I just made a new account. Apparently, my account was just gone. And I would be bitter, except I think we already lost everything anyway. Like snacks. What am I looking for? I'm looking for good news. I had good news in the chat. You tell me your good news and I will push the yay button. So. I have excellent good news in the email. If you have good news you want to put in the chat, go for it. Lark writes, my good news is that I put myself up to collaborate on an audio drama, which is way outside my comfort zone. I keep expecting for the project to fall apart, but so far so good. My outline for the story just came back with positive comments. Thanks for all the encouragement you put out there, especially coming into NaNoWriMo season. That's awesome, Lark. Well done. I can't wait to hear more about how the audio drama is going. Let's see, we got Amber writes, I got a book deal. My debut, The Secret Garden of Yanagi Inn, a gothic retelling of the classic The Secret Garden, but for adults, will come out in fall 2022 with Camcat Books, a small traditional publisher. I always swore when I got a book deal I'd make sure to go back and thank all the podcasts that got me to this point, so thank you. That's awesome. Congratulations, Amber. That's fantastic. Book deals, awesome news. And we'll probably be publication buddies because my book's coming out in fall too. Which is kind of sad, except for what I hear about the supply chain. I'm thinking it might not be that bad. Because if it was coming out soon, I would be really uptight because all the fears with the supply chain and stuff. So yeah, do you guys have any good news? I'm trying to think if I have any. I've just been relieved to say the end on a project here and there. Oh, I started the sequel of the first book I've ever finished. Well done, Shards. Congratulations. Yay button for you. And as chat says, I do have, Hugo voting is almost done. Is it this month? It's over this month. Oh, crap. So, it's going to be the weirdest Hugo's yet. Okay, maybe not as weird as 2015. Yeah, nothing's going to be as weird as Hugo's 2015, but 2015 was the year that no award won 6 Hugos. If you're not a Hugo scholar. But anyway, this year we've had like 5 months, 6 months voting time, and it'll be given out in December. So yeah. Anyway, I'm eligible for Best Editor and Best Semi-Prozine for Escape Pod. So if you're voting, that's all I'm saying. I am 7 submissions away from my goal of 100 for the year. Underpoke, that's amazing. I've probably asked you this, but do you know what you're going to do when you're done, when you hit your 100? I heard that as Noah Ward 16 Hugos, and it took me a moment to realize what you said. I was thinking, I might need to try this Noah Ward author. Oh boy, that was interesting. Oh, that's right. If we're still going doing good news, I released a new song today. You should have the right to put links in the chat, Diva Spice. So go ahead and do that. I will say a yay for your new song. Please link it in the chat. Diva Spice, aka The Fump, is a good friend of mine and does comedy rap and put out a new song today. Okay, Underpope's going to take a bit of a break and then start over next year. Hey, Gabriel, tell me if I get it wrong. I'm sorry. I think if I say it enough times, I will get it wrong several times, so I should stop. Spy Scribe is doing okay. Got new notes in this morning, and they are not as dire as the cover letter made me fear. Not good news necessarily, but it's my partner's birthday today and no medical issues so far on this one. Hey, that's awesome. Okay, we got the Pumpkinhead song in the chat. All right, anybody else have any good news they would like to share? And if not, we can move on. All right, if you think of something or you come in late, which you won't be hearing now, but regardless, if you ever come in late and you got good news, tell me. I want to hear it. So I was messing around on Twitter last night, and Matt Wallace, you guys know him as my co-host and my birthday brother, forwarded a retweeted a post from a comedian who's an Asian trans woman. And she was complaining that, or rather saying that she got on stage and did the joke of, I'm an Asian trans woman, and that's made of 3 groups that have no sense of humor. And she said she got booed. I thought it was funny. And then I went into her Twitter feed. I need to be finding these people because I want to say their names. Went into her Twitter feed and saw the pinned thing as one of her favorite moments on stage. And it's her doing a roast with another comedian, who I believe has cerebral palsy. And they insult everything. They insult everything about each other, including all of the topics that you're not supposed to. And they made fun of themselves. It's, you know, the guy in the chair said, you know, my arms are straighter than you are. And, I can't say one of my favorite jokes because it's got a bad word in it, but it was really interesting. I don't think about roasts a lot. I get my feelings hurt. I probably am way too fragile of a flower to be roasted, but it is interesting how that seems to be a section of humor that relaxes some of its rules. But considering that these folks were making just horrible jokes, I was thinking about it, and it made me realize it's the whole, it's not just punching down and punching up. Punching down is when an able-bodied person makes a joke about somebody in a wheelchair. That's punching down. That's going after a group that's, you know, not as numerous or powerful as you. And a lot of this, you know, like when black people can call each other a certain name that white people should not say ever. And that's okay. We've got a lot of other words we can use, guys. So, punching up is making fun, is the jester making fun of the king. It's making fun of the people who have the power. And, but this felt more lateral punching. And then I stopped thinking about punching. And then I started thinking about tickling. And I really hope that Valerie will chime in, because we were talking about it this morning on the Discord. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you know how you can't tickle yourself? You just can't. I don't know why. There's probably somebody who's studied it somewhere that tells you how the brain works, and you just can't be tickled if you're tickling yourself. But it feels like when you're making jokes about yourself like this, and I'm not saying like being cruel and putting yourself down, like I'm garbage, I'm a terrible writer, I'll never hit another deadline again, blah, blah, blah. It's more, you know, when you're making just fun of yourself and you think it's funny and you're doing it to make other people feel fun, other people laugh. Feel funny? What the hell am I talking about? Okay. And I just kept thinking about the, when you tell those jokes that mock your situation, it doesn't hurt because it's like you're tickling yourself. Whereas if somebody else does it, you're going to feel it. And I was going through my tickle metaphor, and Valerie, Kids Are Asleep, came in and was talking about a lot of that humor comes from reclaiming a lot of things used to hurt marginalized people and to take the power away from it. And I said, that's a lot better than my tickle metaphor. But I still think it works, because it but it's even better because it's talking about pain. And if you can experience this without causing yourself pain, it might dilute it for the next time. Oh, thank you. Mind blown by the tickle metaphor. I could be all wrong. I could be completely off. I just kept that was the first thing that came to me. That's why people can make jokes about themselves and the people in their own community, and you can't. And that kind of thing is it feeds our humor. I really hate these long-standing comedians who just whine about cancel culture and say, well, I can't make jokes about anything. You can make jokes about a lot of things. There's a guy on Twitter. I saw it on Twitter. He probably posted the video somewhere a lot more popular. But there's just this guy who says, what people who run the Amber Alert think that we do. And you got a guy, and then you hear an Amber Alert that a kid's been kidnapped, and he runs out to his car, and he's pulling all his friends in, and they're all trying to run down the car that has a little girl in it, and it's hysterical. And any of the jokes on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it manages to be hysterical while... Did have one episode that was fatphobic, and that's not cool, but they never make fun of the fact that there are two gay people on the show. They don't make fun of the racial dynamic. And it still manages to be really funny. So, I'm sorry you can't make jokes about date rape anymore. Think harder. It's out there. They're out there. And you know, if you don't, if you're still not sure, then find some of these shows or books that manage to be very funny without hurting anybody. Douglas Adams did it. I used Douglas Adams in my in a lecture I did about humor. And the book by, I want to say Steve Kaplan, wrote a book on how to take apart humor and learn how to do it better. And he says his formula for humor is an inept person who tries to do something that they have no experience in, and they do it horribly, and they don't give up. So the first two things that come to mind was the one he mentioned in his book, which was Tom Hanks trying to put on his clothes when he's in the movie Big. That's, he doesn't say, like, wow, I'm a large person now, and these are little boy pants. And no, he just tries to put them on. And when it doesn't work, he tries harder to put them on. Same with Arthur Dent, where he's completely out of his element. Everybody is talking way, way above his head about what's going on, and all he wants is a cup of tea. And he manages to shut the computer down because the computer's trying to figure out why anybody would want tea. And Arthur keeps trying to fix it or improve things, and things just keep going worse and worse and worse. And I guess he does get them out of that, but it doesn't turn out good for the whale or the petunias. So it's just that kind of struggle of every time you try to do something, it fails. And you don't give up. Giving up makes it a tragedy. Also, when your lover dies, but that's more of a Shakespeare thing. But I recommend Stephen Kaplan's The Tools of Comedy. I'll even write that down. There we go. Because people don't think that comedy has any kind of... They think you're either funny or you're not. But I believe Devo Spice can tell you that when you're trying to think up something funny, you go through many, many iterations. Unless you're going to tell me that, like, all of your songs burst forth from your head, fully formed and amazing like Athena, and then I'll just have to not be your friend anymore because I'll be too jealous. But, yes, Phased Out is here. Is the yay button working? Yesterday we paid the deposit and signed the lease on our first apartment together. Move in over the month of January. That's amazing! That's great! You getting married in the spring? Oh, that's adorable, Phased Out. The first place we looked at, and I loved it, and was afraid she wouldn't, and she was thinking the same thing. Sounds like you guys are a good team. Billy Boy, good to see you. Good comedians do not need to rely on subjects that are hurtful. Using hurtful jokes is just an example of laziness on behalf of the comedian. Exactly. Really? Just... So, congratulations, Phased Out. So yeah, I think a lot about humor because I try to put it into my stuff, even though I have the struggle of my last couple of stories have been dark. But I still want the humor. And while we have done this in horror many times, I think mine has been dark in a different way. And I've been worried I'm not hitting the right balance of sodomy and dinosaurs. You guys know that story? It's one of my favorite stories of science fiction of all time. I'll tell the story. Yes, Under Pope, Hidden Tools of Comedy by Steve Kaplan. I remembered his name. Go me. All right, unless somebody wants me to not tell it, I will tell the dinosaurs and sodomy story because it is one of my favorite stories. If you don't know, there is a workshop called Clarion that has, it's a 6-week workshop in the middle of summer. It requires you to take a leave of absence from your work or make sure you're not in school at the time. It's not cheap. It's, you leave your family. It's a huge commitment. But every week, aside from the people who run it, a new author comes in and teaches for the week, and this happens 6 weeks. And a lot of your favorite science fiction writers have gone through Clarion. I think, I want to say Cory Doctorow, Cameron Hurley, I'm not sure. who else. They all leave my head, but I do know that they're just amazing people go and present, and amazing people come out of it. So, I can't... The 1 week we had a person who said that all the stories he was getting was like, they were dark and depressing. He's like, man, you guys are really depressing. You need more dinosaurs in your stories. And they're all like, okay, more dinosaurs. Okay, got it. Oh, you also have to write a story a week, because that's another part of the grueling part, a story a week. So next week comes, and they all write stories about dinosaurs. And that teacher's like, everything's so chipper and dinosaur-y. You guys need to, like, reach deep and, like, talk about horrible things like sodomy. And they're all like, okay, okay. And so then the next week, the teacher comes in and gets a whole bunch of dinosaurs and sodomy stories. And they're completely baffled. Why am I getting all these stories about dinosaurs and sodomy? And the lesson we got is, you know, you have to find the right ratio of dinosaurs to sodomy. If you want to read it better with names that are actually involved, you can search for dinosaurs and sodomy, and it was originally on the blog Making Light by Patrick and Teresa Nielsen Hayden. It is... most of what I've written recently has been trying to strike a dinosaur sodomy proper ratio, and I haven't always done it. I think that's one reason I had to rewrite my novella so many times, because I'm writing about a totalitarian future with a kid show. Yay! So that was fun. Yes, I'm definitely going to perform that Google search. I'm sure Chuck Tingle will be the first result. That's a good point. I would love to see Chuck Tingle try to make that story more outrageous. But yeah, I mean, I think if you use specifically those words and Making Light, you'll find it. But I think I'm going to wrap up for the feed. So I'll be back on Thursday with a pre-nano episode, and hope to see you there. If you want to get in touch with me, mightymer@gmail.com. My website is at merverse.com. You can see me live on Twitch every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, where I will do I Should Be Writing Live. I do about half an hour, and then we all hang out and talk a little bit more after we're done recording. So you're welcome. I hope you can make it. If you want to listen to the entirety of this episode with the chat later, you can support on Patreon, patreon.com/mightymer. I'm going to be opening up more interesting offers on Patreon soon, if that can be an incentive for you. And otherwise, if you can't support, then give a retweet or a review. I appreciate it. Every little bit helps. So, y'all take care, and you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor Who. I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.